Welcome back to Ask God 365, where we seek to find answers for life's difficult questions. Our podcast today will be discussing the parousia, the second coming of Jesus, but we'll be answering the question of what is religious freedom? What does it mean to have freedom of conscience and individual liberty? First of all, we're going to look at religious freedom in the United States. Religious freedom in the United States is a fundamental and constitutionally protected right that allows individuals to practice their chosen religion or no religion at all without interference or discrimination from the government. This concept is enshrined in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which states, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." Here's a breakdown of what religious freedom means in the U.S. context. Number one, the Free Exercise Clause. The First Amendment's Free Exercise Clause guarantees individuals the right to practice their religion of choice without government interference, as long as these practices do not violate other laws, such as laws against discrimination or public safety. Number two, the Establishment Clause. The Establishment Clause prohibits the government from establishing an official religion or favoring one religion over another. This ensures a separation between church and state and prevents the government from endorsing or promoting any particular religious belief. Number three, freedom of conscience. Religious freedom goes beyond formal religious practices and extends to the freedom of conscience. Individuals have the right to hold and express their religious beliefs in all aspects of their lives, including in public and private spaces. Number four, protection for minority religions. The concept of religious freedom is designed to protect minority religions and prevent the tyranny of the majority. It ensures that individuals and groups with less popular or unconventional beliefs are not marginalized or discriminated against. Number five, legal protections. Over time, various laws and court decisions have reinforced religious freedom, such as the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA, and the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, RLUIPA. These laws provide additional protections for religious practices and safeguard against government actions that might unduly burden religious exercise. It's important to note that while the U.S. upholds the principle of religious freedom, legal interpretations and debates about the boundaries of this freedom continue to evolve, and specific cases may raise questions about the balance between religious freedom and other societal interests. The next topic is religious freedom, conscience, and individual liberty. Ellen White, a prophet of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, emphasized the importance of conscience, individual freedom of choice, and the right to worship according to one's belief. She spoke against religious coercion and advocated for a sincere personal commitment to faith. There are a few principles from her writings that align with the spirit of religious freedom. Number one, freedom of conscience. Ellen White emphasized the importance of an individual's conscience in matters of faith. She believed that individuals should be free to follow their convictions and that true worship is a matter of the heart. Number two, voluntary worship. She stressed the idea that worship should be voluntary and heartfelt rather than coerced. In her view, true religious experience comes from a personal and willing connection with one's belief. Number three, tolerance and respect. Ellen White encouraged an attitude of tolerance and respect for people of different faiths. She believed in the importance of understanding and respecting others' beliefs, even if they differed from one's own. Number four, conscience and individual liberty. Ellen White emphasized the importance of individual conscience in matters of faith. She believed that individuals have the right to follow their own convictions and that true faith should be personal and a voluntary choice. She states, conscience with most persons is respected, her voice silenced, but in the sight of God, it is just as sacred as ever. Conscience has been violated, abused, and disregarded, but it is a witness that cannot be trifled with. Number five, religious coercion. White advocated for a form of Christianity that does not rely on coercion or force. She believed that genuine faith cannot be compelled and that individuals should be free to choose their beliefs without external pressure. She states, God gives to every man the right to worship according to the dictates of his own conscience. He is to have the privilege of reading the Bible and of judging for himself what is truth and what is duty and what he must do to be saved. Number six, protection of minority religions. White recognized the importance of protecting the rights of minority religions. She spoke out against religious intolerance and discrimination, urging respect for the beliefs of others. We are not doing the will of God, she says, if we sit in calm security, making no effort to save those who are perishing. Every soul is of value in the sight of God. God paid an infinite price for everyone. Number seven, religious freedom in education. White advocated for religious freedom in educational settings. She believed in the importance of providing students with the opportunity to explore and understand various perspectives. She stated, we are not to be in the world as learners, not as despots, not as bigoted judges. In learning of Christ, in becoming partakers of his divine nature, we become conformed to his image. This is the highest education that can be given to man. It is important to note that while Mrs. Ellen White's writings may contain principles related to religious freedom, her primary focus in life that she wrote on voraciously was on matters of faith, spirituality, and Christian living and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The next section, we discuss the Bible and religious liberty. The Bible doesn't use the term religious liberty explicitly, but it does contain principles and passages that are often cited in discussions about freedom of religion. The Bible teaches about the importance of conscience, freedom of choice, and respect for the beliefs of others. Here are some key biblical principles that are relevant to the concept of religious liberty. Number one, freedom of conscience. The Bible emphasizes the importance of following one's conscience and convictions in matters of faith. In Romans 14, for example, the Apostle Paul discusses the idea that individuals have the freedom to follow their own convictions in non-essential matters of faith. Quote, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Romans 14, verse 5. Number 2, the freedom to choose. The Bible recognizes the God-given gift of free will and the ability to choose one's beliefs. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were given the choice to serve God or other gods. In the New Testament, the message of salvation is presented as an invitation, not a coercion. And if it is evil in your eyes, Joshua says, to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Number 3, respect for others' beliefs. The Bible encourages believers to respect the beliefs of others and live peaceably with those who may hold different convictions. In the New Testament, Paul advises Christians to be considerate of weaker brothers and sisters in matters of conscience. Be considerate of weaker brothers and sisters in matters of conscience. He says in Romans 14, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Number 4, religious freedom as a principle. The principles of religious freedom can be derived from biblical teachings that emphasize the voluntary nature of faith, the nature of the Holy Spirit in guiding individuals, and that the idea that true worship is a matter of the heart. From John 4:23, quote, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. While the Bible provides principles related to individual conscience and freedom of choice, interpretations of these principles may vary among different religious traditions. The next topic is Jesus and religious freedom. The concept of religious freedom, as understood in the modern sense, is not explicitly addressed in the Bible. However, certain aspects of Jesus' teachings and actions can be interpreted in ways that align with principles related to freedom of religion and conscience. Here are a few points to consider. Number 1, respect for individual conscience. Jesus often emphasized the importance of the heart and individual conscience in matters of faith. He criticized religious leaders who focused on external rituals but neglected the internal aspects of a person's relationship with God. This emphasis on the internal and personal nature of faith can be seen as supporting the idea that individuals should be free to follow their own convictions. From John 4:23, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Number 2, tolerance and inclusivity. Jesus demonstrated a level of tolerance and inclusivity in his interactions with people from different backgrounds, including those considered outside the mainstream religious community. He associated with tax collectors, harlots, sinners, and people who were marginalized by society. His teachings often emphasized love, compassion, and understanding. quote, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew 9, verses 12 and 13. Number 3, freedom from legalism. Jesus criticized the legalistic approach of some religious leaders and emphasized a more merciful and compassionate understanding of God's will. His teachings suggested a departure from rigid religious rules and regulations, which can be seen as an emphasis on freedom to pursue a genuine relationship with God. Quote, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Lastly, we will discuss the individual and freedom of choice. The concept of an individual's right to choose, often referred to as the freedom of choice, is a fundamental aspect of human rights and personal autonomy. This principle recognizes that individuals have the right to make decisions about their own lives, bodies, beliefs, and actions without undue interference or coercion from external sources. Here are the key aspects of the individual's right to choose. Number 1, autonomy and personal freedom. The right to choose is closely tied to the idea of personal autonomy. It acknowledges that individuals have the freedom to govern their own lives, make personal decisions, and shape their destinies according to their values and beliefs. Number 2, informed decision-making. The right to choose implies that individuals should have access to information that allows them to make informed decisions. Informed consent is a crucial aspect of medical, legal, and ethical contexts, ensuring that individuals understand the potential consequences of their choices. Number 3, religious freedom. Freedom of choice extends to matters of religious belief and practices. Individuals have the right to choose their religion or to follow no religion at all. This principle is enshrined in various human rights declarations and constitutional provisions worldwide. Number 4, reproductive rights. The right to choose is often discussed in the context of reproductive rights. This includes the right to decide whether to have children, the number and spacing of children, and access to reproductive health services. Number 5, freedom of expression. The right to choose is interconnected with the broader freedom of expression. Individuals have the right to express their thoughts, opinions, and ideas freely, as long as it does not infringe on the rights of others. Number 6, diverse lifestyles and identities. The right to choose encompasses the freedom to pursue diverse lifestyles and identities. This includes choices related to gender, sexuality, relationships, and other aspects of personal identity. Number 7, protection from coercion and discrimination. The right to choose is safeguarded by protecting individuals from coercion, discrimination, and undue influence. It ensures that people can make choices free from external pressures that might compromise their autonomy. In this next session, we are going to look at some key aspects of freedom of choice that are found in the Bible. Number 1, free will and moral responsibility. The Bible teaches that human beings have been endowed with free will, the ability to make moral choices. This is evident from the earliest chapters of Genesis, where Adam and Eve were given the choice to obey or disobey God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 and 19 say, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live." The Bible also talks about the invitation to choose God. Throughout the Bible, there is a repeated invitation for individuals to choose to follow God. It emphasizes that faith and obedience are matters of personal decision, not coercion. Quote, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. Number 3, the consequences of choices. The Bible teaches that choices have consequences, both in this life and in the afterlife. Individuals are encouraged to make wise and righteous choices to experience God's blessings and the love of God. Quote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap." Galatians 6, verse 7. Number 4, the freedom in Christ. The New Testament emphasizes freedom in Christ, where believers are called to choose to follow Jesus and live according to his teachings. Quote, Galatians 5, verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery," which is sin. Number 5, individual accountability. The Bible underscores individual accountability for one's actions and choices. Each person is responsible for their relationship with God and the moral decisions they make. Quote, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Romans 14, verse 12. Thank you for listening to Ask God 365, where we seek to find biblical answers for life's difficult questions. May God bless you and keep you. Heavenly Father, bless the study of your word today. May the Spirit of God touch upon each heart and mind that is listening today. All praise and honor be unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.